want to welcome you to the last hurrah of this fine old school. And we're glad you're here, and we're overwhelmed with the number of people that showed up today. We actually started with two classrooms over here in one of the other wings that had a rug on the floor, and they had taken and knocked a hole in the wall, so we had two classrooms all together. And that's the place we really wanted to have. Unfortunately, though, the people who were demolishing everything never got the word. So they took out the rug, they took out everything, and then they finally said, gee, we didn't know you wanted that room there for the school room. And we told them we did. Now we're here, and we're doing the best we can. So again, a nice welcome. First off, I want to thank the Alumni Association for taking the initiative to put this whole thing together. We appreciate it very much, and they very kindly assigned us Barbara Carl, who was a brand new assistant alumni director, and she coordinated the whole thing for us and became our friend, and we want to thank her. Barbara, where are you? Here is Barbara. Thank you. And then, of course, we have the San Diego Historical Society here today, and they're doing a thorough history. And Dr. Craig Carter and the committee. Dr. Carter, where are you?
Here
is Dr. Carter. Any of you would like to come and talk with him more away? So please do it when you get time. Then I want to thank the COS Farewell Party Committee. I'm not going to tell you what each one did because they worked long and hard how they went naming them and asking them to stay in until they're all up. One of the things I want to say is in this day and age, the university does not have the funds to have custodians work inside or have gardeners work outside. So the committee got a hold of their husbands or their wives. The men worked outside, trimmed the hedges to where you could walk in, swept the floor, and trimmed all the old plants that are dead and the lawn and all that. The gals were inside and they did this room and another room down there where we had more displays going, and did a good job. And this committee here is unique in the fact that there has never been a committee like this on the campus before. And the reason for this is they were more MAs, EdBs, and PhDs in this committee than they ever had. Now, here's the committee. Please stand, and your name's standing, and then we'll do them a hand. First, we have Eileen Birch. Then we have George Smock. And then we have a nice lady I know named Eagle Thornton. I'm not close to that, I'm sorry, she's still working. She's putting her over there. Then we have Jean Spangler. I think she's still out there at the desk. I'm sure you know her. And then we have Nancy McCurry. Nancy. Now we have a program prepared for you, and we have Emmanuel Olsen, and thank you very much. We have Emmanuel Olsen, who has been here, and Andrew Olsen. And Andy, you can't believe this, was a student at the old Norwood School. He must have come in there as a brilliant child 2.5 years ago, because it was this time of the day, you can't believe it. Andy is also a graduate of San Diego State University, and in turn he has been a distinguished professor over the years in the fields of zoology and biology, and he's still doing a good job. He's also active with the Dynamic Retirement Association, and if you want any more on that, we'll let you know. So here we are, and here's Andy, and away we go. two seats here that are now available. Some of our program people have decided to stand rather than sit, so there are two seats that can be... Evelyn Clapp is the one, but Evelyn, you should be up here. You should be up here. Aren't you going to say something later? Oh, all right. Okay. Thank you, George. You should know that George himself has had a distinguished association with San Diego State. Back in 1936, he was the art editor for the annual. He later became professor of art. He was a cadet teacher in the predecessor to the lab school. He was the art supervisor for the lab school. He's had two of his own children go through the lab school, so he's very familiar with it. I want to get along with the program. This is the farewell to a very unique kind of elementary school, the one associated with a teaching college, university, started out as a normal school. We're celebrating three homes for that institution. First of all, on the old campus at the normal, San Diego State Normal School, which was in existence from 98 to 30, before coming out here to the present campus. That was located, and some of the people in the current College of Education did not know that the original campus was over at the Park Boulevard end of El Cajon Boulevard, where the City Schools Administration Building is now located. Then it came out here in 31 with the campus and had its own quarters in what is now a part of the College of Sciences. And then later in 1953, these buildings were constructed and we apparently sort of outlived them. At least they are going to go by way of the demolition ball any one of these days now. And it's rather interesting to look at that large picture on the display wall over there, and we see the building that still exists on the old campus there at the Park Boulevard end of El Cajon Boulevard. You see that two-story structure. That is where the training school had the fourth, fifth, and sixth grades. We see a two-story structure as we look at it even today. We're perhaps unaware that there is a lower level went to it, going down stairs. That's where the restrooms were. So in class, if you had to go, you got permission from your teacher to go to the basement. Anyhow, we are here to celebrate the lifetime then of this elementary school, starting at about the turn of the century and ready to be demolished at this point. I suppose we could sort of say, dearly beloved, we are gathered here on this solemn and joyous occasion to celebrate the life of this institution, the Campus Lab School, alias Training School. I understand that it wasn't called Campus Lab School until 1952 or 3 when they moved to these quarters. Prior to that, it was the Training School. So many of us here went through the Training School, and people talk about Campus Lab School. What are we talking about? Anyhow, on with some introductions to people who have had some interesting relationships with all of this. The current building, which is to be demolished, that is an architect, George Hatch, and we have George Hatch here someplace. There's George, he was here earlier. Okay. Then the administration of the
campus lab school or the training school have to be under the directions of the Department of Education, later the School of Education, and now the College of Education. We have with us Dean Richard Madden. Dick was principal of the training school, Dean of Education on the campus, his national authority on testing, and it's a pleasure to have him here, and I believe his wife is going to speak a few words for him. Would you wish to turn? Or,
Dick, stand up.
No, we have another one speaking the words for that. Not quite yet. Dr. Dean Manfred Schrupp, right here, Dean of Education and Extended Services. From a couple of years in Brazil on an education survey, but very good part of the School of Education. Anything you'd like to say, Fred?
Yeah, can I?
Yes.
Have a half hour speaking, Fred. Chairman of the Committee on Education, my training school, Lackland School, started over that position in February of 1953. This school opened laboratory school in fall of 1953. Jim Retson and I were remembering that in about the middle of the summer of 1970, we finally got word, like the middle of July, that the legislature in its infinite and hearty wisdom and eliminated all funds for lab schools. So Jim and I spent six frantic weeks decommissioning this place. It's like decommissioning a battery. We had to get rid of all the furniture. We were expecting something like this. We were delighted to move the faculty, some of whom are here today, into our regular teaching class. I was sorry to see it go, because I think there's something about the laboratory school connected with a school and college of education that we often forget. This one was, I think, and it was constantly, a constant right on campus reminder to the faculty of the School of Education that its ultimate clientele are the boys and girls. And that when we fail to prepare our university level students for maximum service to children and youth, then we have failed in our ultimate mission. I think this laboratory school served that purpose very, very well before it moved here and while it was here, and I was proud to have been peripherally at least associated with it. Thank you very much.
Today, the current Dean of the College of Education, Dean Anne Maury. She has written extensively on teacher education, and under her leadership, we're proud to say that the College of Education has received five national awards for excellence in teacher education. So things have been started by these earlier deans and all of the people involved with the education school, we know that things are in good hands and being carried on. Dean Moyer, would you like to say a word?
I feel a little out of place being a newcomer. And on the way over thinking about that, I had several thoughts, but now that I'm in this room, I do understand something about the college at a deeper level than I did before, which is the tremendous energy and enthusiasm and excitement that is so true of this college is based upon a tradition that all of you in this room certainly bought to it. And the most recent example is what several people in a matter of 2.5 short weeks were able to accomplish by putting this event together. I just think it's superb. A lot of your traditions, however, are somewhat informal, as I learned when I became dean here in 85 and had my office in the campus lab, which I thought was the dean's office. Everybody told me it was the nurse's office. Well, I soon learned that that was an informal tradition because people still came to me bruised and bleeding, still having the same function that it did. But your traditions of excellence and of innovation certainly are alive today. And I hear it from faculty who've been here a while, and I certainly see it in the kind of momentum that you built that still propels this college. When lab school in some ways is not dead, the ideas have evolved, the ideas have matured, and we now have lab schools, so to speak, 13 of them, all over the city, where our students and faculty go to real schools and real classrooms, and that's where we prepare our teachers. And so we're even closer linked to real settings at the schools now, and that is certainly based on the work of many, many people, and some of those people are here today, and I honor you, and I thank you from the faculty of the college for all that you did to make our lives as rich as they are. Thank you very much.
Principals. We've already introduced Dean Madden, who was principal of the school. We actually go back farther than that. Do we have William Emery here? There is a... I'd like to come forward, please. If you know the history of the San Diego State University, you know that it started back in 1898. The first president of the university was Samuel T. Black, president until 1910. Pauline Black Emery was his daughter. She was also a principal of the training school. And we have her son here to represent the Black family today. Would you like to say hi?
Good to see you. You taught me the field zoology. I want to tell you. I'm going to tell you. Name for Patrick Lyon. Name for Patrick Lyon. I was just kidding, Andy, because he's been one of my instructors out here. Excuse me. I was kidding Andy because he's a friend and I had taken a course called Field Zoology from him just before he got his doctorate from Oregon State. But anyway, just a little talk of my mother to bring in why she and how she got here and how my grandfather got here. She was born in August of 1888 in Ventura, and her father at that time was principal of the local high school. And in a couple of years, he became county superintendent of schools of Ventura County. And at the age of 6 years, her father, it had been 1894, her father ran and was elected to what was then called the superintendent of public instruction, which is superintendent of education, we call it now. They moved to Sacramento. And at age 9 years, in March of 1897, the legislature established San Diego's Normal School of San Diego. And he was appointed the acting president at the time, sent down to San Diego to determine the site for the location of the school. And that's how they arrived in San Diego. In September of 1898, he was appointed the president. The first classes were held at 6th and F Street. The school was under construction for what is now the Kids Center. The first mention of a training school is in that year, with an average of 12 pupils. I don't know what the average is, daily average, but anyway. Then when she was 11 years old, in May of 1899, the normal school opened. And then at age 14 in 1902, she and her father, I guess he took a leave of absence as president of the school. They went to Scotland. He hadn't been back there for 34 years. And he studied Scots and British educational facilities and brought some of his ideas back here. Again, when she was 20, in 1908, they went again to Great Britain and Scotland. At age 22, her father retired in 1910, and they took a trip, both took a trip around the world. And she had been going to the training school herself as a pupil, and she was got a teaching certificate herself from San Diego State. And there the record gets a little dim. I don't know when she became the first principal. I presume my grandfather was president of the college as well as principal of the training school at that time, but I don't know that. I'm just taking a guess. Because later on, she was appointed principal of the training college, of the training school. And when that was, I don't know. I would estimate probably about 1911. But that is just a guess. But anyway, she continued on until 1919, and she resigned and married my father. So she got out of the teaching business at that point. That's about it. I don't have all the answers. There's some vacant space in there, but that's how she got here and started as principal of the training school.
Now we had met the past. I do want to introduce you to the future, who is here today, which is Dr. George Mahaffey, who's current director of the School of Education at the back of the room. And he is, we now have a school within a college. That shows, I guess, progress. But George has been a tremendous leader, and we're very pleased to have him as part of the college.
Program down here on the front row at the beginning. Okay. Dr. Richmond Barber, principal, and he's had an illustrious career in our local education and as a newspaper columnist. You remember Dick Barber's column in the paper through many years. In the 1939 San Diego State Annual, we read, to quote, one of the kids at the training school, Principal Richmond Barber, is tops with everybody from the junior primary to the supervising teachers. We're happy to welcome you here today, Dick, and I believe your wife is going to read something on your behalf.
Lawrence Smith, William L. Nida, Dr. deputy, Dick Madden, and Betty Mother. I have one star temper. I was in second grade, and I chattered and chattered and chattered. The student teacher finally marched me to a spot just outside the classroom door and told me to stay there until she had time to talk to me. I looked to the north end of the hall. There came my stern aunt, surrogate mother, and taskmaster. I looked to the west end of the lawn. There was the principal, Miss Black. The two ladies met where I stood. They peered down at me. I peered back up at them. They both frowned. It was too much. It was against my principle to cry while being difficult. But this time I bawled. The student teacher came rushing out the door to see who was killing Richmond. I was surrounded. We adjourned to the principal's office, where I was properly scolded. My real punishment came later when I got home. We students had our education enriched by Richmond's vision from the normal school faculty hall. The wonderful Irving Outcall introduced us to the world of literature, especially in poetry. The energetic Professor Stillman taught memorable astronomy lessons, and he had us through the school evening to peer through the big telescope. Professor Stillman and I became good friends, but there was one aspect of him which never failed to make me laugh. He came to and from school on a high angular body. It was propelled by a small, smelly, noisy little motor wheel. I used to wait up to see him riding up normal to the campus. His coattails were flying in the wind, and he held his hat on with his left hand, and managed his vehicle with his right hand. His books were strapped above the back wheel. With a smile on his face, he swooped into his parking place and stopped with a crash. Who but Professor Skilling would transport himself that way? In due course, James Skill became the campus lab school and moved out to the then new campus. A new element of enrichment was added to the curriculum, rattlesnakes. Every morning, the custodians went over the playground carefully. Frequently at first, they found and killed rattlers. They I graduated from the eighth grade at the old campus. Some 15 years later, I returned as principal at the campus lab school. For several wonderful years, I served in that role. I left, did Richmond to live, and with the family, on the 2800 annual salary I received. I more than doubled that figure by returning to the San Diego Free School. The pupil costs of the campus lab school were relatively high. It was inevitable that an economy-minded government would cut the enterprise out of the state budget. So, on short notice, the campus staff ceased to exist. However, we still live with a hunt and hunt of photographs and a first day of in one capacity or another. I close my comments by thanking you, the folks who had the idea of getting us together to share some memories of a great middle school. Thank you. Good job.
Madison. We've already had Richard Madden mentioned. We mentioned earlier. He was also principal. We just recognized him as we're going through the principals. The next one is going to be one that Dick Madden knew very well, Thor Carlson. And Thor is down from Santa Rosa to share the day with us. And you might be interested to stay for that day if you would like.
I didn't think I was going to say anything. I didn't expect to be talking today. It sounded like I've gotten roped into it. So I just get Dave up here to help me. And I guess after Dave, you can ask him the questions or I'm not. Dave Pascal worked with me.
We couldn't decide on a title. I was really the gopher for Thor. This is a gentleman who really covered the transition from Unit 1 to Unit 2. And when I arrived in San Diego State, I found a very ingrained, solid staff and a principal who had been principal for 5 years of the lab school. At that time, I was informed that we were going to make a shift because the building was on the drawing boards and we would shift it mid-year to this facility. And my job was never defined. Thor was the guy who carried the ball in terms of the new construction. He was principal of the lab school and was gone half the time, most of the time. And his comment was, Dave, take care of it. And he was taking care of so much, it was kind of interesting for me to try, a young person from UCLA, from the University Elementary School, and seen to come down and try and work with a staff that had been working together for many, many years. But Thor was the strength of the transition, and we moved in at mid-year. Yeah. I just want to say, at the end of the year that we made the transition, which was a very successful year, Thor decided he didn't want any more of it, and I ended up in at the superintendency level in La Mesa Spring Valley. And just one comment, because I think it was my association with Thor that helped create the concept of the laboratory school on a public school site. But Thor is the gentleman who really did the transition and is, you know, he knew every aspect of this school. We even had such a big argument. The biggest argument probably was how we would number the classrooms.
Anyway, it's kind of an interesting distinction to be a part of the beginning and a part of the end. But I do know that that faculty who has taught me an awful lot. And I also remember some of the comments of Bill Lucio, who many of you remember. He always bragged about the good-looking government contingent in campus classrooms. And I can say that with some confidence that the older contingent is gone, but the good thing is that the government is really here. I remember the days we spent in finding it with Action, his associate, and I remember one of the first things he said to us, look, what are you going to do in that building? We have to know before we can do any kind of start drawing. So we spent a lot of time working on objectives, working on our goals, working on what we were going to do there. And when we finally had put that down in writing, and I can remember spending many a Sunday afternoon over the old lab school there, writing and putting down the ideas that I scraped up from the faculty and various meetings. And when we finally had that in place, then Hatchin Company went to work and planned this building. So I think it was a forward-looking building.
It's a lot.
But it's 30 years old. Time marches on. Okay, I think you're done.
Transition in, they're talking about how to transition in and out. The one person who was challenged with the transition out is Dr. James Reston, who was the last principal. Any words? I was here for a terribly long time, folks, so you've got to give me about a half hour. All those last stories I have.
I came here as principal of the school. I was appointed principal in 1969. I left the school in 1970. So you see, I don't have a lot of stories to tell, so keep the faith. I was very disappointed when that school closed, and people say to me today, they say, you know, Red said the school had been in existence for some 70 years and had a lot of illustrious principals and staff members. Corinne is the only one here that was here to hear this principal. But a lot of wonderful things happened, so I thought, boy, I'm really getting into a real nice career and a real challenge. But then they said it ran for about 70 years, and you took it over, and in 1 year it closed up. How do you account for that? And I blame them on Fred Shrupp all the time. I had a better office than Fred had at the time, so he was very anxious for the school to get closed, despite what he said to you about keeping it open. I would like to say it's very gratifying to see all of you here today. I wish I could recognize some of the students. Are there any students or student teachers, maybe, who were here in 69-70 school year? Students or student teachers? Oh, wonderful. There are two or three, anyway. Any grandchildren of the people who were here in 69? Okay, well, we're only 20 years along. Again, it's very gratifying. Thank you. I'm glad that I have one small place in the history of this thing to see. So in 1 year, I get to go down in history as one of the principals of this last school. And I'm glad that it isn't going out and being forgotten, because I understand there are some things going on in the library archives. Thank you all, and I hope you enjoyed this day. We've had two principals who are now deceased, but we do have their widows with us, and I think they should be recognized. The widow of Dick Serby, Betty, is here, and also Pat Nardelli, widow of Bob Nardelli.
Very middle, and with lots of stairs and needs to go through. Some of the people who were up there, and all the supervisors, were Dr. Barton was our principal, and kindergarten was Isabella Hammett, and second grade was kind of big. It wasn't a real supervisor. Someone occupied that room, but they had those 2 people. In third grade, Margaret Nordahl Reinhardt. Fourth grade, Catherine Corbett. Fifth grade, Glenn Bacon. And sixth grade, Mrs. Post. Music supervisor was Christine Springsteen. And art, Patty Patterson, and then George Lawrence. I started teaching here in 1949, and at that time, we had developed a nursery school. And Earl Campbell was nursery school supervisor, Isabella Hammett. And I told you, we're still living, and we'll have the 102nd birthday in June.
They say that all PhDs and MAs should be teaching at the elementary level, because by the time the sixth or eighth grade goes by, the students are so set in their way you can no longer change them. Yes, it's true, in 1936 and 7, 37 to be exact, I was a cadet teacher here. We had a wonderful lady in the art department named Patty Patterson, who was one of the world authorities on children's art. She was very highly ranked. And her classes were so popular in the art department that after I did my cadet teaching here with Marguerite Reidegaard in sixth grade, doing art only, she said, John, I've got too many students and I can no longer supervise the art in the Kent's lab school. Would you be my student assistant and do it under the NYA program, which paid $18 a month, which was not too bad in those days for the amount of time involved.